Hi everyone, welcome. My name is Claire Schnecke. I'm an AmeriCorps member for the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis. We're really excited to be interviewing some amazing, incredible people today. Be sure to check out the rest of our series to hear more from our other remarkable guests. Today we're talking to John Hahn about solar cars. He's gonna share his screen real quick.
Right,
a little bit about solar car and John. The University of Illinois Solar Car Team has been building and racing its cars since 2014. Their car is completely powered by the sun and built by students. The UIUC students have raced their car across the country. The team consists of over 100 students from more than 20 unique majors. Recently, their second car, Brisa, was just unveiled. Here to talk more about the solar car world is John Hahn, a senior in computer engineering, former team president, and current business lead. John is also my cousin. Thanks for joining us today, John.
Glad to be here. Yeah, so my name is John. Pretty accurate introduction. As part of the solar car team, I've been involved in for almost 4 years at this point, and it's a pretty amazing experience. So you can see in this picture that we've built two solar cars. The first one on the left is our first car, Argo, and the one on our right is our second car, Brizo. So these cars have acquired a lot of work and a lot of people to build, and it's quite an amazing experience. So you can see here, these are road legal cars that are driven by people, and they're solar powered with a lot of electronics inside and all sorts of other systems. So we compete in two different races as part of the team. So kind of the objective of these cars is to build a car that is solar powered, obviously, to push forward sustainable energy in the process. But by doing that, we're really competing in these competitions. So there's two main ones, the American Solar Challenge and the World Solar Challenge. And these races occur in the United States and in Australia, which is the World Solar Challenge. There are teams from all over the world that compete in these competitions with large budgets and large operations. So this picture here, you can see as part of the American Solar Challenge or the Formula Sun Grand Prix, we competed at the Circuit of the Americas, which is a Formula One racetrack in the United States. So there's really exciting things that happen as far as these teams. And, we're competing in the same race courses as the top drivers around the world. So here you can see we compete head-to-head against other solar car teams driving around tracks. And while we're doing this, kind of the objective is to focus on efficiency. So these are long-distance, multi-day races. So at the racetracks, we're driving for 3 days in a row and trying to get as many laps as possible. So this is the Circuit of the Americas that I was talking about. It's a pretty big, expansive racetrack. The other part of the races are the road races. So in this part of the competition, we're actually driving our cars on the road. So part of that is we have a convoy of cars, of people that travel along to make sure the car's working. Here you can see some people working in the car, along with the convoy of the solar car. That means we're driving in roads through mountains. A lot of these race courses try to, keep making it interesting and travel through mountainous ranges. And the World Solar Challenge travels through the outback. So these are harsh conditions that are really pushing these cars and vehicles to their limits in terms of surviving harsh heats, intense sun, and severe weather. And so the other part of this is we will camp along the way while we're traveling multiple days across continents. So yeah, that's kind of an overview of our car. We really focus on sustainability, education, and there's a lot of students that are learning and building a pretty amazing car.
That's pretty great, thank you. So we do have a couple of questions. What exactly does it take to build a car? How many different teams do you have? And what sort of technical components go into it?
Yeah, so here, let me open this up. So we have a lot of students involved in our team. Here you can see a picture of, this one team meeting that we had. We have more than 100 students, as mentioned. So there's a lot of different groups and parts that had to make this happen. In many ways, this team is more like a company, but we're made up of students. So we have a lot of business operations. So for example, here you can see where our unveiling of our new car was all organized by our business and media groups. So the business and media group handle a lot of things of raising funding and creating content for our team. So a car is not cheap, and a solar car is even less cheap than a real car. So yeah, that's a lot of different things there. But overall, you know, there's the five core main like groups of our team. We have business, media, the solar array, mechanical, and the electrical groups that all put together this car.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit more about funding? How is it that a bunch of students can afford, you know, such an expensive car?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how much goes into funding this car. You can see on the side of our car, we have a large number of sponsors. So a lot of these come from either the university and other large corporate donors. So in order to find these sponsors and raise this money, there's a lot of different conversations that we have to have and a lot of different people we have to reach out to and a lot of different partnerships. So one thing that we focus on a lot is in-kind donations. And so this is when a company will donate a product or a service in exchange for a sponsorship. So for example, one thing that we often try to get sponsored is the carbon fiber that makes up the solar car. And so this we often get donated from maybe an aerospace company or some other company that has, you know, is using like tons of this material. So they're fine with donating just a little bit to build a, help us build one car. So that's one example. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Earlier you talked a little bit about having it be a legal car. What sort of rules and regulations do you have to follow both for the races and just to be able to drive your car around Illinois?
Yeah. So in order to become a road legal car, there's quite a few different things. So the regulations on road like becoming a road legal car for a one production car are not quite as strict as they are for like big auto manufacturers, for example. But we do have to have all the different lights and stuff like as a normal car. So, you know, you got to have headlights, turn signals, all sorts of things like that. And that to be sufficiently bright for, you know, other cars to be able to see it. For the regulations for our races, there are even more strict regulations, actually. Most of them really focus on safety. So since these cars are driving on the road with, you know, alongside real cars, they had to, you know, withstand, be prepared for an accident that may occur. There are, you know, accidents are and sometimes unavoidable on the road. And so our car has been designed with a roll cage and through lots of analysis. So on the mechanical side, the way they do this is what's called through FEA. So that's finite element analysis. So what they do is they'll take a model of the shell of the car, kind of like you can see here, and they'll basically put it through in simulation test scenarios. They'll basically crash the car and see how the different parts of the panels deform. And the computer can then calculate at what point, you know, things will break. And so through this, we can see that our car will survive certain crashes. And then we do the same for this chassis, which is made of carbon fiber, as well as for the roll cage, which is made of metal, to protect the driver. Of course, the drivers also have a 5-point seatbelt harness. So this is even more safe than, for example, airbags, because the driver is entirely secured at 5 points, so their entire body is basically strapped into the vehicle and protected if the car were to roll over or get hit by something. I guess to keep going on your question on regulations, another big part is electrical safety. So for example, here you can see the battery. Batteries can be very dangerous, actually. Perhaps some people have heard of when Samsung was having issues with their phones catching on fire on airplanes. But the same thing can happen with, you know, cars and big batteries like this. For example, I watched an interview of some of the founders of Tesla, and they talked about when they were testing their battery, and they just put a bunch of batteries in the ditch in the back of somebody's backyard. And after they did that, they realized just how dangerous these batteries were and decided, you know, even though they did this in a pretty somewhat controlled environment of like a hole in the ground, they realized that wasn't even safe enough and decided they had to contact the fire department and, you know, do this even in a more controlled environment. At some of the World Solar Challenge, actually, last year, some cars, one car notably actually entirely burned down to nothing. Another one, their entire battery burned down. So the regulations work very hard to ensure that these dangers don't happen. Of course, nobody was injured in any of these scenarios. So we, there's always, you know, fail safes in case, you know, something does happen where the car has have issues. Of course, the priority is always that the driver and the whole team is safe. But we work very hard to design safe electrical systems that prevent these things from happening in the future. And Alina Solar Car prouds itself in, is proud of its ability to design these electronics. And we've designed many of these things from scratch so that we have a better understanding of how they work and can add in extra safety features to make sure that we're building a safe car.
That's really great. That's a little bit scary, but good to know that everyone always stays safe. As a bunch of students building a car, and you're talking about Tesla's doing some of these similar things, do you ever get a lot of doubt, you know, maybe from sponsors or professors or just maybe parents who think, oh no, these kids can't build a car?
I mean, there's definitely people that question our abilities, but I think we've proven to many people at this point that, you know, we can build a car and we can do it safely. Since we've built two cars at this point, we kind of know what we're doing, and I hope to continue to show that. Yeah, I don't know. There's always questioning of, you know, quality of designs and things like that. But through continuous review and engineering processes, we believe that, you know, we're very capable of, as students, to do this. There's a lot of processes and people involved that ensure that's a safe and quality car.
That's great. So could you talk a little bit about your new car? You have Argo, I believe, and now Burizo. What were some of the benefits of building a new car? And talk a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so the car kind of really starts off at the aerodynamic design and the shape of the car. So that's kind of where we can first see the biggest difference between our first car, Argo, and Burizo here. So Argo, let's see, where's the picture of Argo? So Argo here, as you can see on the left, has this kind of what we call a catamaran style car. So there, it's a bit wider, actually a lot wider. And the four wheels are kind of separated into these different fairings. So a fairing is kind of a shape that is most aerodynamic. It's kind of like a teardrop shape. So you can see these four fairings here that'll hold the four wheels. And then we have the driver in the center with the fairing around their compartment as well. This is kind of a tried and true design that has existed in solar car racing for a long time. But more recently, there's been a shift to this more what we call a bullet car design. And in this case, the car is kind of one fairing, so all the wheels are kind of grouped together along with the driver. So the advantage with this is you get a smaller car with less surface area, and that results in less drag overall. So we really hope that Burizo will be a much more aerodynamic and efficient car because of that.
How fast can Burizo go?
So we just finished kind of the basic construction of Burizo, and we're still getting into the more of the testing, but it's been designed to travel at highway speed, so close to 70 miles an hour.
Oh my, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, and I guess Argo has been tested and has driven up to that speed. So they're pretty fast cars for being all electric and built by students.
That's pretty neat. About how many hours would you say the average solar car member is putting into some of these cars?
Well, that's a good question. So we have a lot of students involved in the team. As I mentioned, you know, more than 100 students. And, you know, maybe one kind of saying, a rule that exists in the world, is the 80-20 rule, where 20% of the students will do 80% of the work, or this applies to the workplace and elsewhere too. And I think this ends up being pretty true for a solar car as well. But, you know, as a big team relative to some other student groups at our university, you know, it gets split amongst at least a decent amount of people. With, you know, more than 100 students, that means at least like 20 or 30 people are doing really most of the work. And of course, these other people are extremely valuable to the team that maybe, you know, spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours a week. But the core team is really spending 10, 15, 20 hours making this car possible. So as students, you know, we have our own schoolwork as well. But I think this solar car work is so exciting and innovative that we really are willing to put in the time to make this happen.
That is a lot, 10 hours a week unpaid. You've got to really be passionate about it, though. That's cool.
Yep.
You're talking about how you're learning a lot from solar cars. Is there anything, have you been able to learn that you've implemented in maybe internships or jobs or classrooms?
Yeah, so since I'm a computer engineer at the University of Illinois here, I've worked a lot, I've learned a lot from the, that has been kind of applicable to the workforce and the electrical side of things. So personally, I've done a lot of coding and software sort of things, but I think Solar Car has really shown me a lot about testing in that regard. So, you know, when we're building a car, we want it to be reliable. And a lot of times in classes, you just got to make it, you know, kind of pass their tests and the grades. But when we're building a solar car, I've learned just how to kind of like really evaluate things in terms of safety and their efficiency and things like that to kind of build the best product possible. And with that, you know, there's a lot of design processes that have been pretty applicable to, you know, the real world of, you know, how do we like plan out things and like make decisions that are high quality. So for example, you know, maybe you have to choose which motor to put in your car, right? And there's a lot of different considerations that, you know, maybe may not be so obvious in that. So just considering the efficiency, obviously, but also how much does the motor weigh, how much the cost, and making those decisions of like trade-offs are pretty critical that I think I've really learned through this experience of how to make trade-offs and decisions based on logic rather than just gut feelings and sort of things like that.
That's really good. It's good that you learned a lot, put in so much work. When you were the president, was it hard to keep track of all the different parts? You know, you've got someone buying a motor, someone trying to fund the motor, someone, and that's just one part of the car. Was that a challenge?
Yeah, I think management is definitely something that I've learned a lot about, especially actually. With more than 100 students and with varying degrees of involvement, you really have to, you got to think about, you know, how you can push people to do their best work and how to encourage and motivate everybody to, you know, do what they need to do to move the team forward. I think there's a lot of different processes in terms of creating charts or tables and, you know, maybe even just creating a whiteboard of information for everybody to see. So I guess what I've learned from all this is like, it's important to be open with people about, you know, what things are needed and what plans you have so that, you know, you really want to share vision with everybody about what you expect and what you want to do with the organization, especially as like the top leader. It's really important to set out the mission and the goal. So it's really nice that our team, you know, has a pretty clear and, you know, motivating goal of, you know, fighting climate change, building great technology and improving education. So I think these are things that a lot of people can get behind. And so that's really useful in, you know, motivating people to continue to push our technology and our team forward.
That's really cool. And speaking of pushing it forward, what are some shifts you've seen in the solar car world since maybe you joined or since you first heard about solar cars?
I guess there's always change in terms of the technology that teams are using. So, you know, maybe back in the 90s or whatever, when these cars started, they were, you know, running much slower with these huge solar arrays. And as we move forward, things have gotten smaller and faster and better. But I think what's happening in more recent years is, you know, obviously solar energy is important and as an energy source, but I think a lot of more people are thinking about just the other sustainable access aspects of the team. So for example, you know, it takes a lot of materials and stuff to build a solar car. So how can you do that in a more sustainable way? How can you, you know, operate a team in a more sustainable way? And, you know, how can you just push the sustainability in other ways? So another example is like the World Solar Challenge changed the regulations actually of what solar panels they'll be allowed to use. So a lot of teams recently have shifted to using these space grade solar panels, but these have some harmful chemicals. So one change in the regulations with that is they've added regulations that kind of bans those materials that are more harmful for the environment. So I think it's really important that, you know, we think about not just, you know, sustainable energy and where the energy comes from, but what other impacts it may have in that process and how we build those things.
That is very important. Do you think that one day we'll all be able to drive solar cars around?
Honestly, I think it is really possible. A lot of people, you know, have seen that, oh, solar cars have existed for as a competition for so long, and, you know, there really aren't any, you know, solar cars on the road yet. But especially with the shift towards electrical vehicles, which I think has become pretty clear at this point that in even, you know, the next 10 or 20 years, most our cars will be electric. So when that happens, it really doesn't make that much sense not to put a solar panel on top of the car. Because these cars, you know, require a lot of energy, and they're always sitting outside when they're not being used. And that makes a great opportunity to charge them up just by sitting out in the parking lot. That's free energy right there with the solar panel. So I think it really is possible. And I think it'll be really exciting to see that as we continue to grow up.
Yeah, you can't beat free energy. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. I'm sure we all learned so, so much about solar cars and everything it takes to build one, all that work. What would you recommend someone who's more interested in solar car? How more ways to get involved?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to learn and learn more about solar cars. So you can first check out, you know, our website, IlliniSolarCar.com, just to learn more about our team, and check out our social media. And we're always happy to answer your questions if you contact us there. You also can check out the different race organizations, the American Solar Challenge and the World Solar Challenge. And you might be able even to see the solar cars come to your town this summer during the race or in the future. There's always opportunities, you know, to, if you're interested in getting involved into the future when you're in college, you know, the greatest place to start is just learning about engineering in general. But a lot of universities have solar car teams or similar ones that can be you can get involved in as well.
That's pretty great. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. We'll have a lot of more great series with many more remarkable people, so be sure to check those out and have a good rest of your day. Thank you.